Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Pastor Jessica Roth.
Hi! How are you girls? My girls are quiet today. I'm not used to this. Where are the girls in the house? There you go. All right. I know a lot of you, I know a lot of people that are on their last minute vacations. I've been talking to people, I'm like, seriously, you're going now? But I guess my kids are now in school, so I feel like it's over. But it's really not over, right? It's August still. So how are you this morning? Good? Did you get here? Are you like in the zone to receive from God today? Because sometimes we can walk into church and go, what do you got for me? Well, listen, I have nothing for you. How about that? Like, I am just a vessel being used by God, but I know God has something awesome for us as a body of Christ. And so we're going to come, we're going to get together, and we're going to get into the Word today. So let's go before the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get into what His Word wants to teach us today. Lord, we just come before You, God, and we just humble ourselves, God. We ask that You would teach us from Your Word today, God. As we break open Your Scripture, Holy Spirit, we ask that You would speak, that You would do a new work inside of us, God, that You would speak the oracles into our hearts, God, that we would leave here different, not the same, God, that You would encourage us, that You would strengthen us, that You would equip us to be who You need us to be. And Lord, we thank You for that. In Jesus' mighty name, everyone said, amen. You know, I did want to just make a comment, and I want to pray, actually, for Houston. They are in a mess, you know, and there's a whole bunch of Christians out there that are working their butts off trying to take care of their community. And I will say this, anybody who is talking about Joel Osteen, because I have been on Facebook and I am ashamed of Christians right now. Shame on you. Let me just say, I'm standing in my pulpit and saying shame on you. Because the Word of God says, do not touch God's anointed. And you do not know what has been going on behind the scenes. You have no concept and no idea what it takes to run something that big, or what He's been asked from the city, or what He's planned. It takes a lot to take in a lot of people. You can't just have people overtake and then not be able to take care of them. So let's give a little grace where grace needs to be given. You would want it for your life, and let's pray for them. And let's believe God on behalf of our brothers and sisters in Christ. You understand me? Now, I'm sorry, I'm being like mom right now. And if you're part of this church, I will not have a church that talks against another church. We don't do that. Those are our brothers and those are our sisters, and they are hurting and they need us to stand in the gap right now. So let's not be a part of the foolishness that's going out there. I don't care what you think about His theology. Those are non-essentials. He does lead people to Jesus, and that is where we stand. If that man is given an altar call, I will stand by him. And so, you know, I don't care if he is on the grace message or if he's on the to love message. I don't care. Because if someone is telling someone about Jesus, I'm going to back them up, because I am on the business of getting as many souls into heaven as possible. And they may not be like us, Rock Church, but it doesn't mean we don't love them. It doesn't mean we don't back them. It doesn't mean that we don't stand in faith with our brothers and sisters. So let's stop shooting our wounded and let's start praying for them. Can we do that, Rock Church? And I'll tell you, it makes me angry, because enough is enough. I am not going to lead people that talk foolishness online. Be careful what you type, because you're still accountable before the throne room of God for that. And we now have social media where we get to say whatever we want, and we can do whatever we think, and we just take everything at face value. But be careful when you stand against God's anointed, because there should be a fear of God on you about that. So let's not judge him for what he's done, how he's been blessed, what God has. You don't know the sacrifices and the things that he has done to get there. Are we good? Do you still love me? Okay. I'm sorry. I just can't handle when we talk about ministers like that. It just bothers me. Now, let's get into the Word. Because I think today we're going to talk about some fear of God stuff. I think there's some things that we as Christians need to grow up in. I didn't know I was going to take this approach, but there's like a righteous anger on the inside of me that we as Christians need to grow up a little bit. We need to take control of our minds, our wills, our emotions, and everything that leads us to the places that could lead us into ungodly positions. I don't care what the girl next to me is going through. All I know is that before God, I have to get to heaven and I will be accountable for what it is I've said, what it is I think, where it is I let my heart lead me. So today we're going to talk about stewarding our hearts. There's a fear of God on this place because I believe God wants his Christians to stand together and be united. And we can't do that when our hearts are divided against each other. I've watched our country rip each other apart with the whole racist thing and all of this foolishness. We are the kingdom of God. You are called for a purpose. You are ordained by God in your mother's womb. You are so incredibly valuable. It doesn't matter what the color of your skin is. It doesn't matter where you stand in society, whether you're poor or you're rich. Everyone needs Jesus. And listen to me, Rock Church. We are going to be a church of generations. We are going to be a church of all races. We are going to be a multicultural, multigenerational church because I believe that God has a plan and we are going to be a picture of what the kingdom of God needs us to look like. But we have to steward our hearts in this because our hearts can take us down past people. We can listen to what social media is saying. We can listen to what the news says. We can go and beat everyone up. We can be the most judgmental, negative people in the world. And you know where that starts? In our hearts. And God has been checking me about things. I found myself in a place of, I closed my eyes and the Lord said, you found your place in a cavern and a deep valley in your heart and you've camped out there and you don't know how to get out. How many times has that happened to us? Maybe we're discouraged about what's happening around the world. My goodness, we turn the news on and every country's at war. Everybody hates America. We could let fear rule us or we could begin to pray. You see, God says, I know what's happening, but I need you to keep your heart in the right place. I need you to silence the voices around you. I need you to get yourself out of camping out in that cavern and that deep valley, that place you don't know how to get out of. Today, we're going to learn how to steward ourselves out of the valleys, how to steward ourselves out of those places of despair and discouragement and, you know, disappointment. Maybe it's places of just anger. You're just mad. Maybe you're just a mad woman. You find yourself flying off the handle all the time, and it's not around that time for you. You're still doing it. Maybe you're angry about the unanswered prayers that God hasn't given you, so your heart wants to go there. And it's easy to get mad at God. He's the first one we all get mad at. But he so loves us that he just says, come on, be mad at me. I'd rather you be mad at me because I'm going to love you through this. Some of us are camping out in some deep valleys. Some of us are in some caverns and we don't know how to find our way out because we're looking to the wrong place to find our way out. The word of God says in Jeremiah 29:11, my favorite verse, for I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Stop. Wait, what? He's already ordained everything in my life. He already knows everything he set out before me. My path is not going to look like Pastor Michelle's path. My path can't look like Pastor Deborah's path. My path can't be Lori's path. But my path was already ordained. It was already thought through. It was already planned out, but yet my heart can take me off the path that I need to go down and will take me to some scary places that I go, wait a second, how come I feel like I'm so far away from God now? How come I don't know where God is? I don't hear you anymore, Lord. We're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about what are we listening to? What are we seeing? Where are we allowing our hearts to take us? You know that saying, follow your heart? You know, oh, follow your, I mean, I just love when I tune into The Bachelorette and they're like, follow your heart. I'm like, what? We're breeding like adultery here. You know, like what is that breeding inside of these relationships? See, the world has their way of doing things, but God has his way of doing things. Right. And we are not in this, we are in this world, but we are not of this world. So we're gonna switch our thinking today, okay? You're gonna sit in that seat and think, I'm different today. I'm not of this world today. Today, I am really who God made me to be. Today, I'm sitting in this seat, ready to listen to my Creator, needing to find out what I need to do to move to the next step in life. I need to get there because God needs me to do something. Because girls, your hands, your feet, no matter what age you are, no matter if you're young or if you're old, God has something He needs you to do. There is an assignment on this earth for you. What is He asking of you? What is He asking? These things across our country cannot get fixed without the name of Jesus. No man is gonna fill the void that was just lost in Houston, only Jesus. I can't tell you, we haven't even begun to hear the miracles that have come out of that. We haven't even begun. We haven't even begun to hear the love that actually has happened because of the hate that is trying to rip us apart because of the color of our skin. I bet you there is this incredible unity happening between people. You see, God has a bigger picture. When something looks devastating, God takes the good out of it and goes, oh, I need that, because then people are desperate to hear from me. When you're in your cavern, when you're in your cave, when you're in your deep valley, what happens to you? You're desperate. It's the best place to be. And that's where God needs us to be, desperate. We need to lead our hearts to a place of desperation for God. You find yourself stagnant and bored with the things of God. You find yourself going, I don't really know if I even want to go to church, you know, whatever. I can just watch it online. We Americans are so spoiled. I was just talking to Al and his wife, and they're in Lima, Peru, you know, and these people like run in by the droves to get into the house of God because it's so special. I don't think you understand how special it is, how much work it takes to prepare this service just for you guys, how much prayer goes into it, how much love and how much sacrifice goes into it, all so that you can sit in these seats and get the word of God with nobody coming in here and shooting you or telling you you can't read your Bible. You see, but yet we're bored with God. We're bored. The American church is sad. It's time to wake up. It's time to redirect our hearts. It's time to be real Christians, Rock Church. We can't be sitting on these sidelines anymore, watching what's happening in Houston and then just typing about the mean things about every person they don't like. You want to judge? You will be judged too. Watch your mouth. Where's your heart in that? It's not with God. That's not the Creator I know. He loves the broken. He loves the weak. He searches them out. He wants to rescue them. That's what He longs for, is to rescue the broken heart. So we can find ourselves in our little problems, but you know what? Start looking around, you'll find someone with bigger problems than you. We can be sad in our sadness of whatever issues we live in. But then you go hear some of these missionary stories and you're like, yep, I'm good. Totally blessed. I have nothing to complain about. God is so faithful. I have a roof over my head. Whatever. Sorry. You know? Do you ever just go, sorry, never mind. Sorry, God. God wants us to redirect our hearts, not follow your heart. Because if you follow your own heart, and you don't allow God to follow and lead your heart, if you don't allow God to direct your heart, you're gonna find yourself in that deep cavern, camped out in the valley and not knowing how to get out. You're gonna have false truths in your life. You're not gonna know what's gonna happen. So today, let's find out how to steward our hearts according to what God's word says, according to what God needs us to be, according to where God needs us to go. Because this God who loves us so very much needs us to have a grow-up moment. He needs us to have a grow-up moment. So what's a grow-up moment? In my life, I have three little kids. And the other day, Micah just started pulling eggs out of the refrigerator. He's on this thing where he's like eating like 50 million times a day. Like I gave him a lunch with like seven things in it the other day. And he's like, I was starving. You didn't even give me enough lunch. And I'm like, seriously? How's that possible? So he just started making eggs and bacon and hash browns. And I'm like, you know how to use the stove? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, okay. Like, and I felt like the Holy Spirit was like, back off. Let him do this. Even if he burns himself, let him do this. And I was like, okay. So we're just watching him, he full on me. He's like, you want any? I'm like, sure. And so like he made us eggs and bacon and hash browns. The whole family was just amazed that Micah did this, right? Now he's 10 years old, he just turned 10. And I think he was feeling like, this is my grow up moment. Like, mom, you don't have to make me breakfast anymore. And it was like, oh. You know, sometimes God needs us to do that. He needs us to have some grow up moments in our walk with him, in our relationship with him, in our heart dealings, and those things that we can go back to because everyone generationally before us just did it this way. Well, how about God saying, well, wait, don't let your heart lead you down that path. Look where it took them. I need you to catch that inside of your heart, and I need you to go down this direction so that the generations after you go this way instead of this way. You see, our hearts can lead us to very false places, but God is our firm rock, our firm foundation. He's going to lead us because he already knew the plan he has for us. So if we can link our heart up with God, then we are on the right path and the right direction for us, our families, our husbands, our children. Girls, you are the keepers of your home. You have to be on cue with God. You don't get the luxury. How many times have we said this about ourselves? We don't get the luxury of being sick. Like, you know, the man gets sick. Beth, you will learn this. You're getting married, girl. The man will get sick. And they get to, like, rest forever, right? We get sick and we're, like, holding the kids while they're throwing up and we're sick and we're still throwing up. And I mean, I remember those days. I remember calling my mom and being like, don't come near the house. Like everyone is sick, you know, because nobody ever has the opportunity as a woman to not take care of the children. Today, this morning, Dan is so wonderful. He did his best and he's wonderful and I love him. But I was upstairs trying to get ready. I said, guys, I have to do my hair. Right? I can't look stupid in front of you guys. So I had to do my hair and I'm like, just leave me alone. Just everyone just leave me alone. Well, it was picture day. You know, like, of course. So Chloe's coming in with these, like, intricate Pinterest, like, can you do my hair like this? And I'm like, I've never even tried that in my life. And then Micah comes in, mom, dad can't do my hair. Look at what he did to it. Like, this just doesn't look good. And I'm just like, ugh. So, like, I have to do it all. So I finally get them out of the house, and I'm just like, hi. Are we going to be okay today, God? You know, we don't get that luxury, but I had to check my heart. Like, be nice to the kids while they're here in front of me. Be nice to the kids while they're here in front of me. I mean, I was literally telling myself that because I found myself wanting to snap. Have you ever snapped? How many snapped this morning? Make me feel better. Okay. So I believe that we are going to steward our hearts as godly women, as moms, as grandmas, as aunties, whatever walk of life we find ourselves in, as a single woman out there in a very nasty world, trying to stay godly with people who have no concept of morality. You see, God knows your walk. And he says, you can direct your heart and your heart can be steward to the things of God. So let's look into it. Number one, you have to talk. You have to speak. You say, what? I'm a girl, that's good for me. I can speak, I can talk a lot. Sometimes when we get into those valleys and we get into the caverns, we don't talk. We get real quiet, we become isolated. We don't wanna bother anyone with our issues. We don't wanna say it too much because we don't wanna be complainers after all. Have we ever felt like that? Yes. But yet you stop talking. And that's when the enemy comes in and he steals and whispers evil thoughts into your heart and into your mind. And all of a sudden, these false realities become your reality. And yet God says, I need you to talk. I gave you a voice to speak to me. There's power in your words. So come and be with me in your place of hurt. Come and be with me in your place of not understanding what's happening in life. Come and talk with me. Now listen, I'm not telling you to go talk to everyone around you. I'm telling you to go talk to God. Speak to him. I've been in the place where I've been mad at God. I'm like, I don't even want to talk to him. So like, I will sit there in a chair, like, I'm not talking to you. Like a snotty little girl. And I'm sure he's just like, fine, I'm just gonna sit here until you're done being stupid. And I just feel like he's sitting there with me and he's like, are you ready? I'll hear that, are you ready? Are you ready to talk now? Fine. And then I start talking, well, I just, you know, okay. And then he'll start talking. And for some reason, after that conversation, everything's so much better.
Now some of you are going, what? You talk to God like that? I only talk to God like when I come to church, or maybe I hear him or I feel his presence. Listen, the more you talk, the more he'll engage you. The Bible says, draw near to me, I will draw near to you. Seek me and you will find me. I seek him out in the dark places. I invite him in into the uncomfortable moments of life. Girls, you have to begin talking to the creator of the universe, the one who knows your future, instead of talking to the girlfriend or the family member that has no concept of what's happening tomorrow or where you should be going the next day. You see, God has already ordained your path. Wouldn't it be better to lead your heart to the one that knows what the future holds so that he can lead you down the right path? But we forget to talk to God, or maybe we don't want to bother God. The other day, Dan and I were talking, and I'm like, you know, honestly, it's been a while since I've prayed for myself. And he goes, that's funny, Jess. I'm like, do you pray for yourself? And he's a man, of course he does. He's like, yeah, all the time. I like myself. You notice that about men? They'll look in the mirror and they're like, ooh, I look good. Girls look in the mirror and like, oh gosh, what's wrong with me? Like, oh, I have a pimple, or oh, my hair's not right, or oh, what is wrong with us? We can learn a lot from these men. I mean, honestly, they truly have a confidence that I believe God gave them. But I believe God wants us to get there too. I know that God wants to talk with us. God cares about what's happening inside of your heart. God wants you to sit and start talking so that he can show you what's happening. And sometimes you're gonna have to talk out loud. Have you ever done that with God? Like, you know, we have these internal prayers, but sometimes it's better to talk out loud to God, because then you hear yourself and you're like, ooh, that was not nice, I'm so sorry. And it's good for you to hear your foolishness. Because sometimes when you put it out there, then the devil can't use it to come beat you up. He can't manipulate you in it, he can't do anything. So when God wants you to not isolate yourself, it says in Psalms 49:3, it's one of my favorite verses, my mouth shall speak wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall give me understanding. Speak to God, meditate on what it is he has for you. It will bring you understanding in the direction and the path that we need to go. We're gonna talk about a man by the name of Moses. We all know who Moses is. Even if you're not saved, everybody knows who Moses is, because Moses was the man who took the Israeli people, the Jewish people, out of the land of Egypt, and he was bringing them across the land according to God, what he wanted them to do. But it took them 40 years to get to the land of promise of milk and honey, but there were so many obstacles along this path. Now, don't worry, we're not gonna go through all of it, because literally it's way too long. So we're gonna pull out some nuggets today from Moses' life. This was a man that had to steward his heart. He had issue after issue coming at him. He had people he was over and that he had to take care of and guide them through this wilderness and this valley. You know, they came to the Red Sea, God split it open for them. Right afterwards, they built altars. I mean, seriously, you could probably just want to like scream and yell at these people, what are you doing? Do you not see the hand of God? And this happened over and over and over again. How did Moses keep himself? How? And then you'll see at the end how Moses got tired and he gave in to his heart and his issues. You see, let's learn from Moses today. I love this part of Moses's life and process to keep his heart clear before God. Let's go to Exodus 33:7. In this verse, it talks about Moses pitching a tent outside of the camp. Sometimes I wish I could pitch a tent really far outside the camp. You know, like those days when you're just trying to be alone with God and like everyone comes and interrupts you and you're like, I wish I could just find a place they can't find me, you know? But I think that God loves some of that solidarity time with him. Those moments of isolation with him only, because he can speak the deepest things to our hearts. And so in Exodus 33, it's taking me a while to get there, okay. It says, Moses took his tent and he pitched it outside the camp, far from the camp, and he called it the Tabernacle of Meeting. And it came to pass that everyone who sought the Lord went out to the Tabernacle of Meeting, which was outside of the camp. And so it was that whenever Moses went to this tabernacle that all the people rose, each man stood at his tent door and watched Moses until he had gone into the tabernacle. What are we doing with the issues in our hearts? People are watching that. They're watching you. What are you going to do in this situation? This is not a good situation. You're broken in this situation. This situation, you've been dealt a bad hand. You've lost your job. You've lost your place to live. You don't know where your kids are going to, you don't know how your son is going to come back to the Lord. You got in a fight with so-and-so. You don't know if this person is your friend anymore. Whatever our situations are, people are watching how you're going to handle it. And as Christians, this is our grow-up moment. This is where God says, separate yourself. Go and talk with me. Go and be with me. See, they understood the severity of where Moses was going and how important it is, so everybody had their eyes on him. In verse 9 it says, "And it came to pass that when Moses entered the tabernacle, the pillar of cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked to Moses." God showed up in a pillar cloud. This is how God and Moses talked for a long time. If you go on, he then hides him in the cleft of the rock because he says, "You cannot handle my face, but you will see my back." And he hides him because Moses is like, "Show me your glory, God." The presence of God is with you, standing right beside you, ready to talk to you, ready to hear you talk. Did you know that you don't bug him? You don't bug God. He loves you. He wants to get into your heart. He wants to show you what's going on. He wants to hear your deepest issues so that he can help guide you through them, just like a parent. When my kids are in a place of not security, or they're uncomfortable with something, or maybe I notice that something's bothering them, I'll say, "Are you all right? What's going on? You okay? Do you need help?" And then all of a sudden, it opens up a conversation. You see, God is there for you. He's got your back. He wants to have a conversation. Speak to God, girls. Start talking to him in a new way. Start bringing your heart issues to him, because he wants you to press in and to be with him on an every level type of basis. This is not just like when you come to church, you need to hear from God. When you walk out those doors, you need to hear from God. When you're going to the store, you need to hear from God. You are on assignment. Your heart is going to get twerked and tweaked. You're going to be mad. Someone's going to cut you off on the freeway. Someone's going to do you wrong, because that's what humans do to us. But what are we allowing it to do to our hearts? And where is that going to lead us to? Because God is asking us to look at that and say, "Come on, let's talk about that. Let's fix that. What is that? Why do you get mad every time somebody cuts you off on the freeway? Why do you let it get to you so much? Do we have any road rage people in here? Don't raise your hand." Those are some very serious issues. Two people just like killed each other or something over here in Colton because of the road rage issues. We've got issues, people. And God is saying, "Would you just get with me? Talk this out so you're not taking it out on someone else." Number two, we listen. Sometimes we talk too much and we don't listen ever. Sometimes we're know-it-alls. Have you ever just been the know-it-all? "Oh, well, I know. Oh, I know. I love talking to those people." You're like, "I'm not gonna even talk anymore because you know everything." So we'll just sit here quietly, stare at each other. Stop it. Would you zip it? Talk to God, tell him what it is, and then be silent for a second. Wait to listen for the voice of God. Listen. This is an uncomfortable silence, right? Sometimes you're going to have to just sit there silent like that. Listen. We're going to move over in Moses' life. Sometimes we follow people in the past. They actually are not good for us. We allow the wrong people. We're listening to the wrong people. We're allowing the wrong people to guide us. Where are you getting your advice from? Who are you listening to? Are you getting advice from an unsaved person on your marriage? Yeah, right there is a mistake. They don't understand the depths of what God's word says about marriage. They don't understand what God's principles are. They don't understand. You need to stop and listen. Who is influencing your hearts? What is allowed to be spoken into your life? You're fighting sickness, and the devil's gonna come at you and go, "Oh, you're not gonna get healed from that. Oh, you're never gonna get past this. He loves to be the defeater. You need to go back to the one who is the one who redeems everything back. And say, "Listen, the defeater is speaking and I need to silence him. Lord, I'm listening." And he says, "You are healed from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. You are a highly favored daughter. You are chosen by me. Who are we listening to? What voices have we allowed in to redirect our hearts? And we find ourselves, you know what happens? Is they give you advice, they act like they're on your side, and then all of a sudden you find yourself very alone and broken. And then you feel defeated because people let you down. Listen to me, people are gonna do that. We're all human. We're not perfect. The only one that is perfect is his name is Jesus. And he wants to talk to you. He wants to guide you. He wants to be your tour guide right out of that cavern and that hard place that you don't know how to get out of. He wants to take you through that dark place and shine a light on the things that need to be shined. And he needs to show you the lessons in them so that you have some grow up moments in our hearts. These aren't fun topics. These aren't fun things to have to deal with. But I believe God needs us to deal with it so that we can love people better, so that we can be the Christians he needs us to be, so that we don't fall into foolishness and waste our time with bickering and fighting and anger and judgment and all these things that the enemy so loves to fill our time with. Do you notice that? It comes from every direction. You're gonna have to fight that off. It will come. And you may have to go to the throne room every 10 minutes. Okay, God, they did it again. Okay, God, what do I do now? And he goes, all right, come on, remember what you did before. We're gonna walk you through this again, and he'll remind you because he loves you. He wants to talk. He's speaking all the time. Let's start listening to what God says. So in Exodus 33, you know, I had this part of it where he said he pitched a tent, and then God gave Moses, I'm just gonna summarize this because I wanna take us to a different area in Moses' life that I want to hit the last 2 points on. I'm totally changing my message. Let's see if I could do this well. This part is where Moses and God are talking in the tabernacle, and God says to him, I need you to go get 2 stones. We're going to rewrite the commandments. You're going to take it back to the people, and they're going to follow it. So then Moses hears the instruction of God, and then he goes and he carries it out. Now here's Moses, a different situation. The people of Israel are tired, crabby, hungry, and dying. And they're mad at Moses. Why did you take us? You know, first they wanted to be delivered from Egypt, but now they're like, why did you take us out of it? You know, of course we want to go back to the hell we asked to be delivered from, right? But we're not willing to go through the hard work to get to the place of promise. It's between the place of hell and the place of promise that our faith is challenged, that our heart is challenged, that God is asking us to have some grow-up moments in. And this is where they find themselves in. And God and Moses have a conversation. Let's go there. I'm going to go there. It's in Numbers. I love how many times Moses went back to God and said, let's talk. Let's talk. Let's, your people. I love your people. I totally get that. Then all the congregation and the children of Israel set out on their journey from the wilderness of Sin according to the commandment of the Lord and camped out. Let's go down to verse 3. And the people thirsted, and there was water and for water. And the people complained against Moses and said, why is it that you have brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst? I mean, poor Moses. He's probably like, I didn't want to kill you. Like, I was just following what God asked me to do. Sometimes you're gonna feel like Moses, like the person, like, I've just been the messenger. I'm just the one following the leading of God. Or you're gonna be the people. We could be either or. Which role are we playing in different situations? Because I can be on both sides, let me tell you. And or I could be the people judging and criticizing. And you tried to kill us, it's your fault. Instead of the people going to God themselves. So Moses went on their behalf. And it says, verse 4, so Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, what shall I do with this people? They almost are ready to stone me. Like, come on, I did this for you, God, and they're ready to kill me. Verse 5, and the Lord said to Moses, go on before the people. Take with you some of the elders of Israel. Also take in your hand a rod into which you struck the river, and go. Behold, I stand before you on the rock of Arab, and you shall strike the rock, and the water will come out of it, and the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders. He strikes this rock, and water pours out. He heard from God. He was able to meet the need. He was able to hear clearly from the voice of God because he was able to receive instruction from the Lord. When your hearts are in a place you don't know what to do, go talk to the Maker and listen, because he's going to lay some things out for you in your life. He's going to tell you, don't do that right now. That's not the right move for you, because he knows what's in your future. He's going to tell you, go talk to that person. You need to make things right. And you're going to go, no, I'm good. And he's going to go, no, no, no. They're actually a piece to the puzzle of freedom and to the next path for you in your life. So until you fix that, you can't go to the next place, daughter. You see, God's going to give us some instruction on where and what and who and where. He knows it all. So yet, if we're not talking to God and we're staying in these places in our hearts, we're staying in this frustration, the confusion, the disappointment, then the problem is not with God. The people of Israel and Moses, they think it's Moses' fault, right? It's not Moses' fault. It's just the process. We live here on this earth. This earth is not pure. It's not holy. It's not heaven, guys. The ruler of this earth is Satan himself. You are going to come across some hard things. You are going to be faced with tragedy and things that don't make sense. But there's a God in heaven that is standing right there, ready to pick you up, to take you by the hand, to walk you through the hell, to get you to the other side. But we have to go, and we have to talk, and we have to listen and hear what our Maker wants us to do. We have to get and receive instruction as Moses did. Number three. Actually, I'm going to go back to Mark 4, 9, write this down real quick, and it says that he who has ears, let him hear. I don't know about you, but I want to have ears for what God is saying. I want to be that person like, I'm listening. I'm going to shut me up. God, you speak. God, do what you need to do. Say what you need to say. Be that girl, and you will watch yourself finding yourself out of dark places, because he will instruct you. He will shine that light. Okay, take this path, do this, do that. And you're gonna find yourself and go, whoa, when did this happen? How did I get out of here? Let's go, I'm gonna take you to another part. I want you to turn with me to Numbers 20. This is, right? Moses' journey is pretty long. This is all different books. It's all the same story about Moses. I mean, this guy had a long journey. This is a big deal to God. Israel and the Jewish people are a big deal to God. He loves them. That's why we need to stand by them, and we need to pray for them. We need to back them. Okay, Numbers 20. The last point is follow instructions for your heart. Number three, follow. So you're gonna speak, you're gonna listen, and then you're gonna follow. This is just really hard stuff. I hope you can wrap your mind around it. Like, it's so deep.
Oh, it's good.
Not really. Sometimes I find that God is just so simple that we just choose not to do it. We just choose to say, nah, I'm not going to do that, God. I know what you want me to do, but I don't want to do it. I know you want me to break up with that ungodly man, but I don't want to do it. I don't know. We kind of built a life together, and how do I do that, God? He doesn't want to marry me, though. You need to go talk to God about that. You need to get that right. You need to straighten some things out. You need to follow what God says when he's speaking. Because sometimes when we don't listen to God, we will find ourselves back in the camp that he led us out of. And we're like, how did we get back here? How am I devastated again? How am I broken again? How am I mad again? I'm mad again. Believe me, I am not perfect. I am that person. I'm just mad again, and I want to be mad. You ever feel like that? Like, I'm justified in my anger. God says, no, knock it off, stop it. Come back and talk to me. Come and listen to what I'm saying. Now I need you to follow what I told you to do all that time ago, and you are not listening. God instructs us on a daily basis. Follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Listen for what he needs you to do. Because every day is a new mercy and grace for you in the morning. Every morning you wake up, God is excited and ready to give you your assignment. You know that you are not here just by chance. You're not just here to get filled up. You're here to get filled up to go pour out. That means whatever walk of life you're going to after this, girls, whether it's to love your kids with all your heart, to put Jesus in their hearts, because we can't do it for you. You have to put Jesus in your children's hearts. That's your assignment. Maybe it's to love the lost people in your neighborhood. Maybe it's to love your neighbor. Maybe it's to love the girl at the grocery store that's just pouty. Have you ever just ran, they just don't like their job and they're not happy to be here. And you always end up in their line, right? Well, maybe there's a reason for that. Maybe you need to be that shining light and God is speaking to your heart and telling you to say something, but you're too nervous to say it. See, follow the leading of God. Follow what he has for you. Let's look at Moses' life in Numbers 20, and I'm going to actually go to verse 6 through 13. They find themselves in the same place again, the children of Israel, mad and angry, and they're dying, and they're thirsty, and they're hungry. Now remember, this is how many books later? So over a period of 40 years, these things have repeated themselves. Moses remembers what God tells him before, but Moses and Aaron, now Moses is not alone, he's got Aaron with him, okay? Went from the presence of the assembly to the door of the tabernacle of meeting after they have all just complained and said, you're trying to kill us, come on, we're hungry. So once again, he finds himself there again. Have you ever found yourself in the same place again? The same frustrations, the same patterns of life. Gosh, why does this keep happening to me? We want me to tell you something weird. Pastor Dan journals. Every night he journals, and he journals just about like the highlights of our day, whatever's happened in our life. And I'm not kidding you. He will tell me, did you know like that we fought today, last year, same exact day? And I'm like, what? We don't fight that often. So if we fight, that's weird that we fought on the same day, right? He'll tell me things like, did you know that we like made the same exact meal for our children on this day, and they actually complained and threw it on the ground, but this tonight, they actually ate it. So like a year later, we have come some distance, I promise. Just keep working on it, they will get there. You know, but like, it's weird how we pattern our lives, but we don't even know that we're so patterned. And so here they are, they find themselves in the situation again, and so they go to the tabernacle, Aaron and Moses, to talk to the Lord. Verse 7, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take the rod, you and your brother Aaron, gather the congregation together. Speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield the water. Thus you shall bring water from them out of the rock and give drink to the congregation and their animals. So Moses took the rod from before the Lord and his command, as he commanded him, and Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock, and he said to them, hear now, you rebels, you must bring water for you out of this rock. And Moses lifted his hand and he struck the rock twice with the rod, and the water came out abundantly, and the congregation and their animals drink. Verse 12, then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron and said, because you did not believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring the assembly into the land in which I gave them. You say, what? I don't understand. You see, God gave Moses the command to speak to the rock and the water will pour out, not hit the rock twice. So he received the instruction. He went on his way to do it. He grabbed the staff like God did say that to him. Take the rod, but speak. Be careful what we're following. Listen to the instruction of God and the leading of it, and don't let your heart and the anger in your heart for maybe others or the situation or what your surroundings are to veer your path. Because when God gives specific instruction, there's a specific reason for it. And he's not worried about if you're mad. See, Moses was irritated with the people. Oh, here you go. Now you see God did this for you. God loved them so much, he gave them water, but Moses never got to go into the promised land. He got to see it. And Aaron too. Guys, I don't want to miss out. I want to be hearing so clearly from the voice of God that when I made the wrong step, that I can say, God can go, what are you doing? I need to follow his path. I need to be led. I need to listen. And then, girls, we have to follow. Because your path, your assignment, your future is already laid out. Remember, we talked about this. So he knows how to get you exactly to where you need to go. So when you do it your own way, you are doing it wrong. It's funny, being a boss has been interesting, learning how to be a boss and giving instruction and don't worry, Michelle, I'm not talking about you. And I've had some people in my life and they will say, yes, 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 let's go. And then they go off with the assignment and the assignment gets back to me and I'm like, that's not what I asked. What? How did they do it? That's what they did. I told them to do it this way. Because in my mind, maybe I didn't explain all the details of to why I needed them to do it in that pattern or those steps, because maybe I'm busy and I just don't have time to break it down for them. But because they did it their own way, it didn't yield the result of what was supposed to happen. So then we had to go back and clean it up and fix it, right? But if they would have done it the way that I asked, then the patterns would have happened and the result would have been what it should have been and we wouldn't have wasted time. How much time do we waste in our life when we don't do it God's way? Because we hear the instruction, but then we interpret it in our way and we go, well, okay, I'm gonna do it, but I'm gonna do it the way that I think God was wanting me to do it, what's comfortable for me and where I'm in the right place. But God is going, oh, I'm not asking you to be comfortable. I'm asking you to listen. I'm asking you to follow this. He's going to put you in some uncomfortable conversations with people. He's going to put you in some uncomfortable situations where you're going to have to be bold for the things of God. And you're going to go, I don't know if I can do this. And he will give you a gift of confidence. He will give you the courage to say it. You need to do it, girls. Do it the way he's asked you to do it. Moses struck that rock twice and did not get to see his promise after all of that. I don't want to be that girl. I don't want to miss out on something that God told me to do specifically with my kids and raising them. But yet I said, oh, I'm going to do it that way, but I'm going to kind of do it on my own timeline. I'm not going to do it right now. And maybe that was like the learning curve and that moment in their growth pattern that God knew that I needed to get that into them so that something would unlock in their mind. You see, God knows how we work. He knows the processes of us because he made us, because there's nothing inside of us that is weird or odd. He knows every cell, every molecule. He knows everything that works through us, our nerves, our veins. He knows. He takes the natural and the supernatural becomes supernatural in our lives. I want to live a supernatural, spirit-led life. I want to be that girl that says, God, I will follow. What exactly do you need me to do? Let me make sure I've got this right. If you don't know, go back and check. I believe God loves that. It's a humble heart going, okay, God, wait, I just want to make sure you're okay with this. There's been something going on in my life, and I've been going to God with it, like, is it okay? Is it okay? Is it okay? And I won't get a release. No? Okay, fine. Fine. You know, sometimes the waiting game is annoying. So you'll just make something happen if it's not happening. You know, I'm a pull the trigger type of person. I totally don't mind making mistakes or change. Like, those are two things that I actually thrive in. You might not be that. You might be the opposite. You might be like, change is not good and I'm good taking it slow. Well, I am married to the opposite of me. And I have had to learn how to honor the patience of my husband. And I've seen the wisdom over the years in leading our family, leading this church, the patience of just give it some time. I can't tell you that's probably his number one line with me. Just give it some time. Just give it some time. Give it some time. Just give it some time. Like, I could just hear what Dan's gonna say if I bring something. Give it some time. Sometimes us girls are like, no, we don't have time. We got things to do. I'm multitasking. I got to get this done. I got to go do this. And then all of a sudden you're fighting at the end of the day because you're all worked up about things that you don't need to be worked up about. And your husband's going, why did you even do that? Why are you like causing so much chaos in our home? And like, seriously, take a breath, right? Sometimes I feel like we do that in our hearts. And God's like, hey, give it some time. I'm doing something on the back end. Would you just stop? And that's what he's been telling me. Just give it some time. Just wait me out. Just stay in your lane. Stay in your lane, Jess. Stay in your lane. I'll hear that all the time. All right, all right, all right. Listen, follow the leading of God. Because he knows your future. He knows your children's future. Guess what? He loves them more than you do. They're on loan to you, women. They're not yours. They're his. He knows them more than you do. He loves them more than you do. He knows a path that they need to take more than you do. So start being a spirit-led parent. Start being a spirit-led wife. Start being a spirit-led friend. Start being a spirit-led church member, Christian. Start being a spirit-led person. Don't get into arguments that waste your time that aren't pleasing to God. He's listening. Guard your mouth. Silence yourself. So what happens when you find yourself back in that place again? Point number four. Repeat points 1, 2, and 3. It's really deep, right? Go talk to God about it, then listen to what God has to say, then go follow his instruction. But God, they make me so mad. Okay, well, talk to me about it. He's just gonna walk you through it. And sometimes, ask my family, I'm sure they know, I get irritated with certain things. And I will tell them, I just haven't prayed yet. I need to just go be alone. Like, I need to have some alone time. And my alone time isn't me alone. My alone time is me. I gotta go talk to God because he's the only one that will clear this up in my heart for me. There's nothing anyone can say. There's nothing anyone can do. Only God can comfort those deep, dark places that I don't even understand. Do you not understand yourself? Well, God does. And God loves you so much that he wants you to talk to him. He wants you to listen to him, and he wants you to follow his leading. Follow the heart of the Holy Spirit. Don't follow your own heart. Allow the Holy Spirit to be your guide, your travel guide through your heart's caverns and through the places that he needs to lead you in your heart, because he wants to take you to new places. He wants to take you to mountaintops, and he wants to take you to beautiful places for your families and your children. He wants to see your family saved. He wants to see our country alive and flourishing and loving each other like in the unity of God, which he so created all of us, his children, to be. He doesn't want us biting and devouring and ripping each other apart and speaking about things we don't even know or understand. Since when are we God? I'm not. And I'm not going to put myself in that judgment seat, because that is a scary place to be. Let's love each other. Let's seek God. Let's allow him to get into the places of our heart and go, okay, come on, let me guide you out of there. Let's go. Come on, this is not where I needed you to be. Let's take you over here. Speak to God, listen to God, and let's follow God. Let's not get weary in our circumstance. Let's be listening. Don't let your circumstances affect the leading of the Holy Spirit. Stay on your course, stay in your lane. Did you get something from God today? Good, good, good.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.